Pod Tackler, episode 413, Proving Grounds, for March 6th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, The Storm. And due to some technical difficulties, Brent is not with us tonight. We spent 30 minutes trying to figure out why, and his computer is on the haywire. We don't know what's going on. We wish him the best of luck, though, and hopefully he will be back next week to be on the podcast. But until then, we have Godzilla Todd back in the hot seat to help fill the spot. Thank you for coming back on such short notice.
No, not a problem. Good to be here.
It's an unfortunate day for Brent, but at least we have someone that's been on here before and is a regular on the stream to come and help fill the spot. So hopefully it's not too daunting of a task for you to fill his gigantic co-hosting shoes.
It is a tall order.
Yes, it is. It is one of great pride. So wear them well. Wear those shoes well. Not much in the terms of news for this week. We have a couple of things that came out that are not specifically bulletin related, and we'll get to cover those in a little bit. But just wanted to give you guys a little update on our plans for the podcast coming from here on out. As far as what we want to do, we want to kind of start a discussion series on Halo 5, what we want to see in Halo 5, what needs to be done for Halo 5, and kind of go through some of the other facets of the previous Halo titles. And I want to get people on the show from other kind of bigger name Halo communities and some other people that have had some influences in the past. So I'm going to see if I can work some magic to get some people on from 343, not to talk about any future projects, but to talk about projects in the past. Get some people on from Team Beyond, Griffball Hub, some of those kind of communities as well, to get their expertise on the show, and hopefully just have a well-rounded community discussion for Halo 5. That's one thing I wanted to discuss. And then, of course, the books, the lore, is something that everyone has been requesting, so that will be coming down the pipeline soon as well, as soon as I can book some time off to actually schedule people to come on. So once I get those schedules in place, you'll see a post up on the homepage. And I know I've been saying that I'm trying to get it scheduled at as early as possible, but the Halo Mole, again, is taking so much time right now. And it's a project that was a lot bigger than I ever intended it to be. And it, for being a first time doing something on this scale, it's just been an eye-opening experience for one, and just I wasn't expecting this much work. So it's kind of stuck between me working on this and a few other projects and a few other communities that I'm working on stuff with, like Ricochet Hub, The Spartan Life, and those guys, and then working the Halo Mall on top of it. But know that you guys aren't just, like, forgotten or anything. Same thing with the forums. Those have actually been installed. They're not accessible. But within the next few months, I would say we will see those be able to be accessed by everyone. So hopefully we can get that part of the community rebuilt again. So just a few things to hopefully ease your guys' mind in terms of what's going to be coming for the podcast. And I definitely want to hear what you guys want to see with the podcast as well. Big thing, of course, has been the lore that we've seen a lot of requests for. But if you guys have anything you want us to talk about specifically, feel free to email us on it. We want this show to be really engaging to the community, be something that you guys are going to be interested in listening to, be able to engage with. So let us know what your thoughts are. With that said, let's move on to some of the news for this week. The Verge actually was able to get a hold of the Cortana voice command software that Microsoft has been developing, which is basically their answer to Siri. And it's definitely obvious that it's in kind of like a beta stage, and they're kind of working some of the bugs out right now. But if you go to the article, which will be linked in the post whenever we post the podcast, There's a couple of the screenshots to kind of see how it's going to look like. You don't get a fancy little avatar like Cortana that you would see in the game, but this is just blue circle. And it's going to have Jen Taylor's voice in it for kind of the playback whenever you hear Cortana respond to you. And it's supposed to be able to take a variety of different commands that you would expect some kind of voice control to do and go off that. So they have in the article, they take a look at how it operates kind of just at a base layer from just the bare functionality. So it can do stuff like make phone calls, pull up weather, location data, set reminders, give reminders, look up contact information, like all the typical stuff that you would expect for this kind of app to do, something that is very similar to Siri. And of course, it's going to be backed up by Bing, which is the Microsoft search engine. So all that kind of stuff that you would use for Bing is going to be tied in directly to Cortana. And I would assume same for social networking sites as well. So whenever they have Cortana fully developed, you'll probably be able to link this into Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, LinkedIn, those kinds of things as well.
Yeah, I've been noticing on my Windows phone that it does have some voice response capabilities that that magically turned themselves on after the last update. Now my phone talks to me.
Oh, really? What kind of phone do you have?
I have the 920.
Nokia?
920.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be on some Nokia Lumia phone. I'm not sure if it's that one specifically.
I don't know if they're going to go that far back. They may, I think. I'm probably going to have to upgrade to at least a 1050 to get the voice activate or the actual Cortana voice software. I don't know. But I kind of hope that I can get it for my phone because I really don't want to buy another phone.
Well, that'd be cool if you can manage to get that update.
I'm keeping an eye out for the sign up sheet for the beta.
Yeah, that's something.
Public beta.
Yeah, and if you get that, you're going to be our go-to guy. You know that, right?
I know. I'll even play her on the podcast.
Oh, you heard it here first, people.
Hey.
So if this is happens. This is something as a Halo fan, everyone should be kind of happy to see. We've known about this for quite a while, though. There was teased about sometime last year, and they just made an announcement. I think a couple of weeks ago. Where they're going to actually have this come out on some Nokia Lumia model. I can't remember which one it is. And then it comes out on Windows 8.1 sometime down the road, I think next year. So they have kind of a deployment or test deployment schedule / deployment schedule when it's actually said and done. So hopefully it'll be something that is going to blow Siri out of the water and just really be a cool thing, at least for Halo fans too. If you think of how that kind of stuff works and how it integrates in with a lot of the stuff that's on your phone, if they can really develop that to be very versatile and accept a lot of different commands, which would be a lot different than the Kinect, then I think that'd be really, really cool. I would love to have that on my phone. Also, it's supposed to be hitting iPhones and iOS sometime, I believe. Either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. So
yeah,
that should be interesting.
I think I remember hearing something about that. But
we mentioned it on the podcast before when it first made the rounds on the internet. I think that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe even a little bit further than that.
That's definitely one of those things. I'm glad to launch it on Windows devices first, just so I can stick my nose up at people that don't have them.
Well, it's only on that one Nokia Lumia model. It's not even across all Windows phones, which has me a little puzzled.
I think it has to do with, the actual hardware restrictions.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because of course they haven't released the specs on what it requires, but from what I've been able to gather, like my 920, as far as the hardware specs, it's pretty close to the iPhones. Not, of course, not the newest one because, every 6 months they triple in technology.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's Apple.
Yeah, true. But, like when this phone was released and the whatever the gen was of that iPhone. They were pretty comparable as far as hardware. So I'm really hopeful that it backdates, you know, that far to, you know, the 920, because, you know, I don't want to have to get a, you know, a tablet phone to be able to have Cortana, like the 1520.
Yeah. And you do bring up a good point about having it based on the hardware specs. I think as far as being able to have the capability, though, it should be something where they can scale that to different phones.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, it's like I was saying, you know, my phone currently does have voice response capabilities. Like, you know, you get a text message, it tells you get a text message. You can tell it to read it, and you can respond with your voice if you so choose, or you can type it out. You know, you can already do voice search with it. It doesn't respond back to you like Siri does.
Right.
You know, in the search capacity.
Well, I'm assuming the additional logic that would be putting into Cortana is what requires that extra hardware specs.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to shift through that amount of data on your device, in your apps and on the internet, in a somewhat small response window, I think is going to be something that drives that hardware requirement.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just really looking forward to it, and I hope it backdates to my phone.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool to just hear Cortana read out to you when you have appointments or directions, if you're asking for directions. And it would be cool if there were little Easter eggs in there, just from the Halo franchise perspective.
I would expect
that to be in there, because, I mean, it is the Halo brand, and Halo has a knack for having little Easter eggs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that they would do something with that. Like, if, like, you know, the funny, the Vader directions, I forget what GPS thing that he did it for, if it was like Garmin or...
I think it was one of the Garmins.
Yeah, so like all the funny lines that they did for Darth Vader for the directions have some little Easter eggs for directions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have something like send me directions to three, like... Delta Halo or Halo or something, then there's a witty reply back. So yeah. It'd be cool to just have those kind of little things in there. Be a little, it would appease a lot of Halo nerds, I think.
The one thing I it probably won't happen, but I would love it if they did. My favorite line that Cortana has said yet is in the Halo 2 teaser or the theatrical trailer at the very end when she says,
"Bet
to Master
you can't
G,
stick it."
I bet you can't stick it. They need to work that in there somewhere. That is my absolute favorite line.
I don't know how you do it. Should be something like, schedule playing Halo at 8:30. Bet you can't stick it.
Yeah. You know, just find some way to work that in there. That would just be so cool.
I'm sure they could do it. So, anyways, that's a little piece of interesting news. If you want to go check out what The Verge found with their kind of brief look at Cortana, then make sure you go check that out after you listen to this, or during while you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on the download. Next thing that we have is something that's a little off the beaten path, but something that's kind of near and dear to my fandom for Halo, and that is a fan-made version of the Spirit of Fire, and this thing is gigantic. It is 7 feet long. It's about four times the length, maybe even five times the length of the Ford Under Dawn model. I mean, this thing is huge.
Yeah, I was looking at that and the build list on it. Like, geez.
Like, I think they had four Ford Under Dawn sets to help build that thing. And I'm like, what the heck? That's a lot of mega blocks.
I'd like to know who sponsored that.
This set alone would cost over $1,500.
Yeah. I saw that and I'm like...
And I want it.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, how can I talk him out of this?
You have to think that...
I don't have enough money to talk him out of it.
You have to think like Mega Bloks is just drooling over this thing. It's like, what can we do to like compensate you for this? How can we reward you for making such an awesome thing? I mean, put that thing in like the Megablocks headquarters, in like in a museum or something. That thing is freaking. And if you guys haven't seen this, this thing is amazing. I'll also put the link in the show post when we post the episode. But for those that are in the stream right now, take a look at the video that is in this link. It is freaking unbelievable. And do you remember how much time he said that it took to build?
No,
I think it was like over.
I was getting ready to look it up.
I think it was like if you were to do it for like a straight week or something, like with no sleep, I think it took that long, like 128 hours, I think, if I remember right. I'd have to look at it again. But this thing, if you're a Halo Mega Bloks fan of any kind, if you've ever been interested in it just a little bit, this thing will blow your socks off.
I'm scrolling through the video real quick to see if I can figure this out.
So these are the sets that were used, and this is crazy. 11 Ford Unto Dawns, 9 Short Swords, 2 High Ground Sets, 5 Countdowns, 1 Wraith, 2 Hogs, 1 Floodgate, 1 Siege, 5 Cauldron Clash, 1 Magnetic Figure, 2 Recruitment Centers, 2 Elephants, 1 V1 and V2 Pelican, 1 Phantom, 2 Falcon Landing Pads, plus a lot more smaller ones that go into it. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it weighs 92 pounds. But seriously, that should go in the museum. What were we going to say? Sorry.
I'd be afraid to touch it because, you know, that it would fall over and just shatter after spending that kind of time putting it together. I think 7 feet long.
Yeah.
Guys got imagination to do that, just freeform that.
Just to be able to do that is like to come up with the whole model, to spend that much time looking at online models of it, to take the game footage that you get from the cutscenes and to put that, because it's very detailed with how he put this together. I don't know how much he worked on the interior of the ship, but just from the exterior, what you can see on the outside is simply amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that you would seeing the thing weighs 92 pounds, I don't think it has any interior spaces other than like through, you know, like maybe the landing bay or something where he, you know, made an opening or something like that. Or maybe, you know, where you use clear glass or the clear panels for like the observation deck, you know, something that's
right
from the outside. I'm thinking the internal structure of that is solid.
Probably.
You know,
when you're working on that kind of a build, it's more of a display build than necessarily a functionality build.
Mm-hmm.
But still, holy crap. So check that out, guys, if you have any remote interest in the toys or the Mega Bloks for Halo. Or even if you're just interested to see it in general. It is really amazing. You will be blown away. That's all the news stuff that we had, other than the bulletin that we want to talk about for today. So let's go ahead and jump into that. This last week we had the release of Metal Madness. So we have Brent did want to talk about that a little bit. He did talk about it before he experienced a lot of technical difficulties, and he seemed to not like it as much. There was a lot of things that from the implementation side of things and the certain medals that you have to go after, that it just, the game was too long and it forced people to do or to behave in certain ways that aren't really condoning of the Halo spirit in a sense. So, and this is one thing I haven't played it yet. So, I mean, bear with me here, but there's a couple of screenshots on the bulletin for this week. And one of the things that they showed off was when you go for assassinations, you actually turn invisible. And that would just, in my opinion, turn into a big camping game. And for these rounds of medals that take a minute and a half to complete, you have just a game at a standstill.
Yeah, I've played a few games of this, and it seems like every time they go to the assassination round, everybody starts spamming the trigger on the Magnum. And it's hard to sneak up on somebody, you know, to get the assassination. Because, well, for one, everybody's invisible and they're spamming the trigger to try to hit people so they see them coming at them.
But even if you see them coming at you, you still have to get behind them to assassinate them.
Exactly. And then, you know, you try to play the dance, and then you wind up beating each other down. And, you know, nobody gets a point.
There's certain things in here that wouldn't quite make sense, but from just hearing what Brent said before the show, it sounded like it wasn't very well thought out. And he even went as far to say that Halo should not be codified. So apparently there's some very distinct elements in this game type that reminded him of Call of Duty, which is something Halo 4 has been notorious for doing and something that needs to get away from in the future.
I haven't played any of the CODs after Modern Warfare 2, but I've watched a few videos of them, and it does remind you a lot of, I think it's called Gun Game or...
Yeah.
Forget their game type, but where you get a kill and then you upgrade to another weapon. It's got a lot of that
Gun Game.
It's got that a lot of that reminiscent to it. Other than, you know, the altered traits where, you know, you go invisible or you go to, you know, from having shields to no shields, or, you know, going Raider Slayer to SWAT, which is kind of a nice twist. That's kind of neat, but
it's kind of similar to the one game type that we usually play in customs, the one that's rotating weapons every X amount of seconds.
Which is...
that's pulled from a Call of Duty game type as well.
Yeah, it's basically Gun Game without the kill requirement.
Well, there's another game mode in Call of Duty that's like that. I forget what it's called, though.
Yeah.
The game type in Halo 4 that we play that's a modded game type is called Sharpshooter, and it's where defined as 20 seconds, but every 20 seconds you rotate weapons or you get a new random weapon. So you can go from something like a rocket launcher to a plasma rifle to a sniper rifle to a shotgun to a battle rifle to whatever.
To a plasma pistol, which is always my luck.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing to have certain Call of Duty elements incorporated into it, because when you look at it, a lot of first-person shooters are going to be sharing a lot of similar elements. And the closest thing to Halo that you can, I guess, sort of compare it to is, Halo and Call of Duty. I mean, that's been the classic example since the days back in Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as comparing game franchises, they do have their unique experiences and their unique gameplay styles. And what Halo needs to do, what 343 needs to do with Halo 5 and going on forward is kind of dwell on that uniqueness that Halo has. I mean, Halo has historically had the balance of you start off with the same weapons, you have access to the same vehicles, same power weapons, same abilities on the map, and you don't have this randomized effect that plagues a lot of Call of Duty games. It's a lot more balanced and clear-cut experience for Halo. And that's something... I mean, that's one little facet that they need to focus on going back to for the Halo franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll have more discussions on that.
Yeah,
I keep
like
on saying that. It actually needs to happen.
Yeah. You know, I actually enjoy the loadouts. Yes, it does make it feel kind of like Call of Duty. But I especially started liking the loadouts a lot more after they did that last big weapons balance, although they didn't nerf bolt shot enough. I like that, you know, now that, you know, for an aware player, the DMR, the battle rifle, the carbine, and the light rifle, as well as the assault weapon at their, you know, at their ranges that they're set for, are all about the same, not initially time to kill, you know, provided you hit all your shots and you're able to pulsate the trigger for, like, when you're doing the assault rifle, as long as you can get the trigger pulsation right to, you know, keep your grouping small, which is not something that I do. I just pull the trigger and just keep shooting. But, you know, after that last weapon balance, I liked it a lot more. I would like to see it stay. I know a lot of people don't like it. They want to start with all the same weapons. Like you did in Halo 2 and Halo 3 in the multiplayer.
Well, I'm kind of in somewhat of a middle ground there, where I would like to see the ability to choose your primary weapon, but have stuff like everything else, like your secondary, your grenades, as set per game type. And get rid of armor abilities. I mean, I love my jetpack, but for the greater good of Halo, I'd be willing to give up armor abilities to make it to return Halo to its former glory.
Yeah, the
put back the abilities on the map. Put back the custom power up, the overshield, and the camo things that were. I mean, the custom ability wasn't there to begin with, but stuff that was in there since Halo 1.
Mm-hmm.
And bring back kind of that experience in Halo.
Yeah. That is, the one thing that it was never really, I was really very good at is remembering the spawn times for the power weapons and the pickups and all that stuff. I don't have the concentration to do that while I'm trying to kill the guy in front of me. So I kind of like the ordnance loadout where you can, if you get so many kills, you can upgrade to a better weapon or something like that. Which, doesn't always happen. Sometimes, I'll get a sticky debt and I really don't do very well with a sticky debt.
Neither do I. Although I was really good at the grenade launcher in Reach.
Yeah, they work differently. The grenade launcher.
Right.
The one thing I liked about the grenade launcher is it bounced.
That was so much fun to use. Love the grenade launcher in Reach and I love the railgun in Halo 4.
I'd love to be able to bounce that shell around the corner. Somebody's there, you thump it, you bounce it off the floor around the corner, and they don't even know it's coming until it explodes. Because, you could be far enough away from them where they don't hear the actual sound of it firing, or it's faint enough that the game sounds hide it. I'm getting off topic here. The one thing I really would wish they do is take the plasma pistol and not make it a loadout item. Because for me, that's ruined the vehicle gameplay.
Definitely.
I mean, even in team heavies, at first, it just, everybody spawns with a plasma pistol. I've got them in my loadout. I'll admit to it. It's there. But, take it and just take those out of the loadouts. Make it an on-map or an ordnance pickup. One of those two. Because when it comes to vehicles, really is a power weapon. Because that gives you that, 5 seconds to disable a vehicle that you can charge it, throw grenades at it, whatever.
Yeah, it turns the vehicles into toys, really.
Uh-huh. And,
which is unfortunate.
That's the one thing when they released heavies, I'm like, I hope they do preset loadouts. Give the 5 loadouts for the 5 primary weapons and put a pistol in their back pocket or no weapon. Give the different armor abilities, whatever different armor abilities you think you want to load in there.
Yeah, I think that full loadout set should be available in something like Firefight and Spartan Ops, but shouldn't be done in multiplayer. At least from my perspective, campaign. I mean, that's a little more freedom, creative. I think from a campaign perspective, we could see a little bit more from an options perspective. Like for every level that you go into, you should be able to, select from a preset of weapons that you can choose from, not just be something the same every time, unless it's like part of the campaign. So like at the beginning of Halo 4, when you crash down to the, to Requiem, it's like that's obviously makes sense why you only have one weapon, but it would be cool to see other missions that where you can kind of choose from a preset of weapons as you go into the mission. But loadouts in general needs to be taken out of the Halo 4 the Halo multiplayer experience.
Mm-hmm. The Infinity Slayer, I like that because it makes me feel better about playing a game because I'll tell everybody I am not a good Halo player. If you ever show up on your team, run. I will say it, I am negative. My KD is negative, but I enjoy the Infinity Slayer because it rewards me for the things that I do. I mean,
you said
do. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
I'm really good at knocking the shields off people. You know, I can get enough shots on them to get the shields off of them, but they, you know, I just get out BR'd. They get that last shot in before I do. But I pick up, you know, when I'm in an Infinity Slayer, there's games I'll pick up 15, 20 assists. And it rewards me for that. You know, I like that. Because, you know, that's telling me I'm contributing to the win. I'm also contributing to the loss by dying, but I'm still
contributing to the win. I'm kind of on the flip side of that, but,
you know,
that's more from a competitive perspective.
True. I liked Halo 3 where they had the ranked playlist and they had the social playlist. I know it divides the community. I understand that it divides the community. But I liked that I could go into social and I could just go in there and have some fun. You know, I didn't have this guy over here. Oh, you kept me from getting my 50. Well, if you're playing with me, you shouldn't be playing for a 50 anyway.
I mean, to be fair, though, look at what Halo 3 was probably considered to be one of the most successful, if not the most successful Halo multiplayer experience. And you didn't have all this additional random stuff that you had had in the game, like the personal ordnance that you could call in.
True.
And there was a reason why, even though Halo at its core is a very competitive game and it has a kind of somewhat steep skill gap, it's fun because it is competitive and because when you do win, you feel very rewarded for it. And when you do lose, it's usually because you know that you just got beat by someone that's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's been a lot more recently where, okay, I get these random weapons and it's like I get taken out by this noob because he managed to get a rocket launcher and I just managed to get grenades.
Yeah.
It's a very imbalanced experience.
In a heartbeat, I would go back to the Halo 3 playlists and settings. The only thing I would ask them to add to that setup is, give the players like me, and you can only do this in social if you want. It doesn't matter. But, you know, kind of give, you know, give the support players. Like, I'm really, on most nights, I'm really good at driving a Warthog. I mean, there's some nights that I can't find the front or the back of it. But on the most of the time, I'm actually fairly good at driving a Warthog. Reward me for that. You know, give me XP. You know, give me XP for being Wheelman or something like that.
It's one thing to give XP out for it and give experience points for it, but it's another thing to contribute to the game's score when that's not the objective of the game.
Well, I mean, you know, like in Big Team Battle, if you have, you know, you got Warthogs on the map, well, if I'm driving the Warthog, I'm contributing to the game. Because I'm providing mobility for the guy back there in the gunner seat, and he's getting the kills, and I get nothing out of it. So what's the incentive for me to drive the Warthog for him? Or for me to drive the Mongoose to go capture a flag or something like that?
Well, I think at that point you're focused on the team score than the actual experience. If you're playing to get experience points,
mm-hmm.
then... I'm sorry, but you're not playing Halo for the right reasons.
Well, I'm not playing for it.
It is important to get experience for the things that you need to get, but have those experience points go towards your rank, go towards unlockables, but don't have it be something that affects the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the outcome of the game needs to be based on...
Like I'm basically just talking about your rank. Or your standings, however they do them, not the in-game performance.
Yeah, and that's fine. But it's stuff that shows up in the game. It's like I can go into a game and have 120 points for just having assists, where other people have kills. But if you look at people whenever they look at post-game stats, they always look at kills and deaths and assists. It's not something that's just completely oblivious. It's something that is still very much a center of focus whenever people look at other people's stats.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think from my point of view, and it's kind of a separate argument, but
rewarding people for doing that kind of stuff that affects in-game stuff, like the personal ordinance. Like, it can affect the experience you get and the ranks that you get. I mean, that's not really a big deal. That's something that I think that they should continue to do and support. But when it affects the in-game outcome, so if, like, if I'm only standing back and getting assists for people, I shouldn't be able to just pull up a rocket launcher out of nowhere and then take out a group of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that
balance of play needs to be reevaluated and brought back into Halo.
Yeah, I would totally, like I said, if we could go back to the Halo 3 game style, where you have everybody has the same spawn weapon or starting weapons, you know, the sniper rifle, the rocket launcher, the overshield, the invis, the custom power up are pickups. The sword, you know, where you have to go get the thing before everybody else. I have no problem with that. You know, I was basically just talking, you know, after the game.
Oh, after the game, yeah. I don't care.
After the game.
I mean, yeah, if you contributed to the team and assists and driving, yeah, you should get that recognition for it. But it shouldn't affect in-game stuff.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, okay. So we're on the same page.
You don't want me taking the rocket launcher or the sniper rifle. I'll just turn it over to the other team after they kill me. That's why I generally stay away from them.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
But yeah.
We were talking about Metal Madness before we got on this tangent.
Sorry.
And hopefully, I'm gonna go into the playlist and actually try it, and I may do it with the play date that's coming on Monday, which, by the way, is at 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But as from what I've heard Brent say so far, it's not that great. It's not something that is going to be something that transitions over to a permanent playlist or Halo 5. It's just one of these, I guess, one of these random off playlists and game types that they've made that's an interesting experience, an experiment, but not something that's very Halo-centric.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they do see it as an experiment and never bring it back.
And it is interesting to see what you can do with the engine, the kind of infrastructure that they've built around the game types. I mean, we've seen a lot of cool mods come out for the Halo 4 game type so far, and they're interesting to see from a community perspective, but when you have all the devs locked in a room and have all these playtesting without, like, major community consent, then it's kind of a hit or miss on some of these. Like, Team Heavies, mm-hmm. I mean, everyone loves Heavies, so everyone went goo-goo-gaga over that. But when it comes to things like this, like Metal Madness, it's and a couple other players that have come out, it's just like, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I mean, it is a rotational playlist. It's something that they are experimenting with some of the stuff. And whether it's for their own research to see what people like or to see what they can do with the engine and what they can do with the stuff that they have set up is something that I don't exactly know. Maybe it is something that they're just testing what they can do and seeing what they want to do for Halo 5. But then again, you can look at what some of the stuff that's already been done by the community and take a look at the trends there and then make a game type based off of that. Like, I don't see much basis for Metal Madness here that from what we've seen from the community so far. And I don't know what would really prompt them to do this in the first place.
It was probably an idea they picked up from the modded game type. The modded game type that's floating around gun game. They probably saw that and they wanted to put their own twist on it. Which I mean, you know, honestly, the gameplay and it's good gameplay. It just really seems like it. The matches just take too long. It's, it's for me, I'm not that proficient, so I don't really contribute a lot. So it's much fun for me personally, and there's guys out there that love it. I was talking to some of the people in the lobby, and they were raving over it. They loved the way the format was. But two people, because I only played four games. But anyway, I agree with you, Dust. I think they're just trying to test the limits of what the engine will do. Because they're able to do things with Halo 4 that they haven't been able to do with any of the other Halo games, as far as these on-the-fly updates like this.
That is true. The ability to make these updates this quick and the turnaround, like have a 2-week turnaround for playlist updates is really impressive. But you have to also look at what we're going to see trend-wise for the next generation. And if they're doing these things with the modded game types, if they're supporting the modded game types, they haven't directly supported the ones that are currently out there, like the race and the gun game, but they haven't really said anything against them. Mm-hmm. Why not open up the platform to people to actually go in and, based off of documentation that they can provide, make these things?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give the community a little more of an edge to go in and really
give
expand on this experience. Yeah.
I agree. Because, some of these game types that these guys that have cracked the code have come up with, I mean, they're just a blast.
But open that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Give people the tools to go in. I can understand from a developer standpoint, they don't want to necessarily branch off resources to build a guide, to build an API and do that kind of stuff. But don't necessarily lock down the platform to where people have to go dig so much. Like, make it a little more open. Maybe, so take Halo 2 Vista, for example. They came out with the kind of creator's kit that you could make your own stuff with, and they had sample maps and the plugins that you could use, and they had a little documentation on it. But their stuff was there to at least help facilitate the beginnings of custom creation for Halo 2 Vista,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of grew from there. And if you look at Halo Custom Edition on the PC, that had a lot of resources in it. I mean, Gearbox opened the floodgates on that tremendously.
Yeah, I've installed that. I've poked around in a little bit. I haven't really done a whole lot. Matter of fact, I've been watching a series on YouTube where someone has created a whole new campaign level.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
There are several campaign levels in Halo Custom Edition.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to loading some of those up and playing them, because the one that's showing on YouTube, it looks really good. I'd tell you what it is, but I can't pronounce it because I can't remember it right off the top of my head.
But if you look at those kind of toolkits that are out there, the kind of resources that they provide to the community offhand, then you can see some of the creativity and just the foster of growth. Like, there is a period of time during the summer that HaloCustoms.org, which is basically the center for Halo Custom Edition and Halo 2 Vista for all their custom content, there's that 5 or 6 week period where you have about 20 different maps coming out every week,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous. And people are making their own guns. They're making their own maps based off of maps that have come out with Halo 3, Halo Reach, some of the custom maps they've made, redoing some of the UI interfaces. Like, there's a thriving community out there based off of the custom edition for Halo. And there's probably some stuff that they can't do on Xbox because of concerns that Microsoft has with exploiting consoles and modded content and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But 343 is part of Microsoft. If they really want to foster a community that can go and extend their game and extend the life of their game, then they need to kind of reinvent the wheel in terms of policies and modded content to really foster that kind of growth.
Well, yeah, as far as actually, I'm kind of new at following the actual mods on the game types and stuff, but it seems like that in Halo 4, and then I'm just talking console games, I'm not talking PC. In console games, it seems like the Halo 4 has been a lot more liberal in the different game type creations. I mean, yeah, I know that, you could take and mod your original Xbox, and you could crack Halo 2, and you can you could fly a prophet's chair, or make a tank shoot a banshee bomb or something like that. But I mean, as far as, it just seems like it's happened a lot faster with Halo 4 than it had with Reach or Halo 3, on the consoles. I've done a little digging around because I actually thought about building the cracked console at one time, but it was beyond my capability, so I quit. So I could play these modded game types, the modded campaigns, and because I wanted to fly the prophet's chair, just because it looked cool. But I wanted to see these mods for myself, not just videos of them. It really just seems like to me that the guys that do this cracked Halo 4 a lot faster than they did Halo 3 or even Halo 2 for the console side, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else sees it that way.
Yeah, and it is nice that they're like not just going after people, but then again, they're not exactly supporting them either.
True.
So, anyways, just a random little tangent. Again, we tend to have a lot of those. Next on the bulletin, though, we have... Excuse me. I mentioned the play date with 343. That's going to be on Monday, March 10th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and it will go for 2 hours. And they're going to be playing in custom lobbies for Metal Madness, so you'll get to spam the lovely hosts with invites. And that'll be Bravo, Jessica, and TTL Alaskan will be your custom lobby hosts for the evening. So if you want to go play some Metal Madness and at least, I guess, check it out for a couple games, this may be the way to do it, because it will be in a custom game. It won't be in matchmaking. They may have a few extra different things in there, which would be kind of cool to see. So I'm going to try to get a couple of games in on that. And if that's my only Metal Madness experience, then so be it. I don't think I'm missing too much from what I've heard. But it's an interesting experience, or experiment nonetheless. Matchmaking playlist update. So on March 17th, we're going to be having another rotation of things coming onto the matchmaking system. We have Extraction back. That's kind of fun. I didn't get to play Extraction enough when it was really out there in the mainstream during the early parts of Halo. I really want to see multi-team Extraction, although I don't think we're going to get that. It's probably just going to be two teams.
Yeah, I think limiting it to two teams is a good thing.
Yeah, but it is interesting to see like four teams of three do it in a multi-team style and have that happen with Extraction. It is very hectic, and when you have something like two-site Extraction, it's it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you have two or three teams going for one point, and then you have one or two teams going for the other, and it's a lot of fun. It's hectic. I mean, there's a lot of gunfire going everywhere, but in my personal experience, it's a lot of fun to play.
A lot of gunfire, a lot of grenades.
Well, you can probably limit the grenades to like one grenade per spawn. That'd probably be something that you would need to implement.
Unless they get grenader enabled. No, I mean, you know, when they first launched the Extraction, there for 2-3 weeks, about the only thing I play is either Dominion or Extraction. So I enjoy both of those game types. So I'm looking forward to having Extraction back.
Heavies, though. Heavies needs to come back regardless. But I am excited to see Extraction back. I do have some commendations I need to work on for Extraction. So being able to go in and play for some of those is going to be really nice.
Yeah, they need to just put that in the big team rotation. It just needs to be there.
I believe so. It needs to be one of those options that are there on the... one of the first things that are there.
Yeah, it needs to be one of those three options. It just, you know.
Yeah, regardless, hands down, it needs to be there. I mean, look at the number of people that were in that playlist while it was out. It was bigger than the big team battle playlist.
Yeah, I know. It was funnier. It was really funny because, I mean, all of a sudden you go and you look at all the other playlists and they're like empty, you know, comparatively, because everybody's in heavies. I mean, even big team is just shrunk down to, you know, a relatively small number compared to where it normally is. It was definitely a success, I would say. I would love to see that come back as either a permanent playlist or at the very minimum a rotation in big team. And I think that would be a good place for it as a rotation in big team, you know, to be able to pick that in of the options, you know. You know, because you can only play so much big team Slayer, or big team Flag, or, you know, I honestly haven't played it in a while, so I don't know what the current rotation is in big team, but have that heavies in there, that'd just be great.
Agreed. So, Extraction, along with that, we're going to get a kind of a revamp of the team throwdown playlist. We have something that's going to be replacing it called Proving Ground. This is something that has been in the works for a while, apparently. And it's going to be something very similar to Legendary Slayer BRs, but it's a little bit different where it's not going to have Assault Rifle as a secondary weapon. So it's focused on a lot of precision gameplay, which is very typical of kind of that competitive style play. But you're not going to have some of the other things. Like, you're going to be able to have radar, and the Team Slayer, the Team Slayer top 200 is going to be put into this playlist as well. No armor abilities, no personal ordnance, that kind of stuff. So it's a, kind of a slash between the Legendary Slayer that you would find in Team Slayer and Team Throwdown stuff. They haven't really detailed on what maps and game types are going to be in here, but if it's going to be replacing Team Throwdown, I'm assuming it's going to be very similar for maps and game types, and it's going to be the loadout stuff is going to be something that's more similar to the Legendary BR's game type. We'll see more details on that hopefully next week, but that will be dropping on March 17th along with the Extraction update. The community poll for this week is also related to the Proving Grounds playlist, and that's going to be what additional game type in here, I guess other than Slayer, will be in for the Proving Grounds playlist, and that is between Capture the Flag, Extraction, and King of the Hill. Personally, I don't see why they have all of those game types in there, especially if it's replacing Team Throwdown, and Team Throwdown has all those game types in it, except for King of the Hill, I think. But Extraction and Capture Flag, I know that it was in the V5 settings for Team Throwdown. So take your pick if that's something that you're interested in going to vote for. Remember, that's Capture the Flag, Extraction, and King of the Hill. And next thing on the bulletin from that is new Halo 4 avatar items. So we have a UNSC armor and a... There are two UNSC armor avatar costumes that you can get. One is the infantry armor and one is the space armor. It's kind of weird. The infantry armor... the space armor kind of looks like something from Call of Duty instead of Halo.
Yeah.
A little bit, just a little bit. So if you want to deck out your avatar with some more Halo costumes, definitely go check that out. They're on the store right now. You can go pick them up via the links on Halo Waypoint. So go check them out. And so there's a knowledge drop section in here where they answer some questions regarding some stuff, but a lot of... So they say in here that there are some times when they can answer the questions, but again, they give a lot of vague answers again. And it's something that, I mean, let us know what you think about this kind of section in here. Is this something that you think they should do? Is this something that, with all the vague answers, it's still something that is entertaining to read? Because I know from mine and Brent's perspective and a couple of other people that we've had on in the past, just kind of wasting time in this manner of going and just answering questions like this that doesn't give too much insight is something that's kind of a waste of time. I don't know, what's your opinion on this kind of thing, Godzilla?
I mean, it's kind of a fun mental exercise, I guess you would say, to think, you know, see if there's anything in the answer that might be a clue, but You know, as reading these questions, I mean, you know, the answers, they're like transparent. I mean, they're like, okay, do they even respond to the question directly? I mean, there's only one there that actually gives you a feasible answer, and that's the last one, and it has really nothing to do with anything.
Right. And the other two answers that they give to the questions are like things that you would think of anyways.
Uh-huh. You know.
So it's almost like, why even bother answering the question if all you're going to give is completely vague answers?
Yeah, and I guess
and it's something of a kind of art to do that too, because Bungie was a master at it. Like they were able to insert those little nuggets, and people would be able to dissect that and really expand on it. Where 343 doesn't have that game down. They aren't masters at that, and they, in my opinion, they should stop because they're only making people mad.
Either that or hire the person at Bungie that was doing this.
No, I don't think it's Urk. Because Urk's not there. I mean, kudos to them for trying, but they just don't have the knack for it. And in my opinion, they should stop.
Yeah.
Kudos to trying, though. But, oh, definitely, just no. just no.
It is definitely a talent to give that just a little bit of information, but not enough that it just stands right out.
Yeah. So work on that a little bit if you want to keep on doing it. But until then, just don't do it. Please. Spare the humility.
In the torture, please.
Yes, please. Last thing in the bulletin, of course, is the screenshot gallery. And this week's focus is Photos, the Photos armor. That's the one with the unicorn.
Of which I don't have.
Really?
Yet.
What's the requirement for that?
You had to buy the Halo 4 console.
Oh.
And I don't have the Halo 4 console yet.
Yet. Do they still have those for sale?
I've actually found, I've dug around on eBay, and I've found, 50 or 60 different listings at times for brand new sealed inbox Halo 4 consoles. I've even seen them for Reach, one for Halo 3, but it was way out of my price range. The Reach console and the Halo 4 console, you can still pick them up brand new off eBay for retail price. They're not going up in price like collector's editions or anything like that yet. I don't know how much longer that's going to last.
They're actually still listed on Amazon, too.
Yeah.
$525.
It's what?
For a console. $525.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, it's inflated a little bit. But like I said, I've seen them on eBay for the original price, $499. Sealed in box.
Wow. I didn't know they still had those out there. I thought those were limited. Oh, no, I guess it was, I thought there was something that they made initially that was limited edition. They only were only making a limited number.
Well, the limited edition of the Halo game, Halo 4 game, was supposed to have a limited production run.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
Probably not. They probably saw those dollars rolling in and it just kept going up and up and up.
I doubt that happened. But back to the screenshots, though. The Photos armor set is what we have for this week. From the screenshots there, I think my favorites would be Terrorized by Reclaimed Halo. So he's on here again. Really need to reach out to him and get him on the show. Static by Spexel, Oppression by Knight in White XX, Erosion by Deluca 34, Matrix by Tarno Zumtacker. I have no idea how you say that, and Shade Light by Stealth Ace. Those would be, that's more than half of them, but those are the ones I like in there.
I definitely like Reclaimed Halo. That I definitely agree with you there. I kind of like The Fall, just because it makes me think of Terminator 3, where he's 2. Yeah, Terminator 2, where he says talk to the hand. Oppression. I like that one too. Those are my top three, at least.
Cool. So I think we know which one's going to be for the pod art then. The one that we both picked. The Bloodshot one is an interesting one by Truth by Chaos.
Yeah.
Just from how they get it with the red filter, and I'm guessing those are tree branches or vines of some kind. The other ones just are more visually appealing to me, but the Bloodshot one is an interesting screenshot.
Yeah, it definitely is. It make an interesting wallpaper.
I know someone who would actually love that wallpaper.
Well, now you just have to download it and send it to them, or point them to the link.
I think I'll do that right now.
I tell you, it's truly amazing what some of these people do with these screenshots. I'm like, I look at some of them. I'm like, you got to be Photoshopping these things. There's no way you could do this in the game. But sure enough, they do. The static thing, I can't even.
Yeah, that one's interesting.
I have to make it bigger just so I can just figure out what it is. I don't understand how he has the effect.
I don't quite get it either.
At first I thought it was just, a shield hit or something like that, but it's not a shield hit.
I can't quite tell, to be honest.
But that is definitely a cool effect.
I mean, it almost looks like multiple shield hits at a time or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting one, though. So that wraps it up for the bulletin. Again, not much stuff to talk about. Sorry, guys. And we didn't have Brent, but I think we did a good job filling in for him. So thank you, Godzilla, for coming in again and being with us tonight.
Not a problem. And I just want to tell everybody that follows the podcast, Brent's computer is not my fault.
I don't think anyone blames you for that.
I don't know what happened to it, but it's not my fault.
Anyways, that wraps it up for us tonight, guys. Be sure you check out our website, podtacular.com. And while you're there, shoot us a message. Send us an email. Shoot us a voicemail. Let us know what you think of the podcast, what you want us to talk about, any comments that you have on anything that you've heard, or maybe if you see something online and you want us to talk about it or ask what our opinions are, then shoot it over to us. We would be more than happy to discuss it. Remember, that's podtacular.com. And you can also catch us on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. on Twitch Live when we record our podcasts. And that usually comes out a couple of days after, but if you want to get in with some of the Twitch chat, then make sure you head on over there at 8:30 p.m. on Thursdays. That, again, is Eastern time. And make sure you check out our custom nights on Wednesdays. Godzilla has been kind enough to host for me in my absences as of recent, and will probably continue to host as I play Titanfall on some nights. So
we may have to discuss that.
Yeah, we probably will.
There may be need some reimbursement for that.
It'll probably just be next week, and then I'll be back to normal for me. Because, I mean, yeah, I got to get the first weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm waffling. I've got a gift card, and I'm thinking about buying Titanfall for the PC because nice. I finally found the specs that, you know, what Titanfall requires, and my PC meets it. I'd like to play the game before I spend the money on the game, because I really kind of want to get Destiny 2.
Well, that doesn't come out until this September.
I know, but by then I'll be in full collect cash for Halo fund. You know?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I have to save the money for Halo, and that's going to be $150 because I'm going to get the Legendary Edition like I always do.
Of course, it's Halo.
I got to buy the console that'll be tagged with the Halo because, you know, it's got Halo on it. And yeah, hopefully
So it'll be interesting to see if they have an Xbox One that is Halo 2 themed and then Halo 5 themed, or if you just see the one that's Halo 5 themed.
I think they'll probably just do a Halo 5 themed one.
Yeah, that's my guess too.
Don't get me wrong, it'd be neat if they did the Halo 2 themed one, and I would have a lot of problems deciding which way to go. Halo 2, Halo 5.
Yeah.
And then I might wind up just picking up both of them.
We'll see how well that goes. So you can also check us out on the podcast network. We are part of a network of now 6 podcasts, including Critcast, Reachcast, and the recently added Guardian Radio. They've been on our show a couple times, and we've been on their show. They are the Destiny podcast, which is Bungie's next title coming up in September. Like we mentioned before, they're really cool guys. They have a very good show, very high quality production, and very good discussion topics they have over there. So if you're interested in what Bungie's working on, definitely go check them out. Their website is guardiansofdestiny.com, and their podcast is called Guardian Radio. You can find them on iTunes, or you can find them over at the podcast, that is podcast with a K, .com. And check out the other podcasts that are over there as well. Mentioning that network, I was actually on a podcast with the other hosts of the other podcast on the network for an episode on the Work in Progress podcast. It's one of the other smaller podcasts that is not published quite as often as the other main ones, which is How to Kill Time, Reachcast, Critcast, and our show. But it's a very good podcast. Episode where we talk about how we got our starts with podcasting, why we continue to do podcasting, and there's going to be several more of these kinds of shows coming out with the heads of every one of the podcasts that are a part of the network. So if it's something that you're interested in, like learning about how podcasting is important to us, then definitely go check it out. I believe it's episode 22 or 23 of Work in Progress. But you can find the episode, again, on thepodcast.com. Would like to mention, again, the Halo Mole. Make sure you head over to thehalomole.com. And I'm still in full production mode, swinging as many recording sessions and video editing sessions that I can in before Titanfall, which will inevitably slow down my production of that. So I'm trying to get stuff as much into this week as I can before that drops on Tuesday. And check out ricochethub.com. We had signups open. I think they are closed now. I am not 100% sure, but teams are still picking up people. So if you want to head over there to get onto a team to look into playing some semi-competitive Halo, then definitely check it out, ricochethub.com. Go over, sign up on the forums, meet some of the people that are over there, and get yourself into some lobbies and some games and possibly on a team. You can also check out our social networks, Facebook, Twitter, we're on Twitch, YouTube, which are not quite as active, but will hopefully become more active as I start to get the ball rolling on some stuff with the website and all that good stuff. That wraps it up for tonight. Thanks again for listening to this short episode. Hopefully we'll have some longer ones in the future as I get some other people on, which hopefully will not be too far away. But until then, good night, have fun on Halo, and keep on fragging trucks.
Peace all. We'll talk to you later.